My name is Alondra de la Parra, and I was born in New York City in 1980, but grew up in Mexico City. I live in New York City, and I'm the founder and conductor of the Philharmonic Orchestra of the Americas. Our orchestra members are between 20 and 35 years old. We have 24 different countries in the orchestra. I love them so much. I admire them so much, and I've learned a lot from them because every concert is a huge lesson. We're close enough where they don't mind me saying what I need to say, of course, because otherwise how could we work? But I don't mind them coming up to me. I trust them enough so they can come to me and say, you know, your beat is way too big here. We need you not to do anything here. I really need you over here. And or, oh, you hurt my feelings when you said that. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, it's a family where it's like we almost want to go to therapy together and we'll cry. And it always ends up to being like the solution to the problem is just like, let's hug it out, you know. It's just like, it's so great because it isn't usually that way. So I always encourage communication. They know I'm there. They all have my cell phone. They all call me. They all tell me whatever needs to happen. And same here. But still, you know, I have to be the boss sometimes. And sometimes they don't like me so much. My family, even though they're not professional musicians, they're really musically inclined. They love music. There was always a record sounding in my house, opera mostly, and I was always taken to concerts since I can remember. And that's also when my father explained to me what a conductor does, and he said, you have to study the score, you have to help everyone come together, and you control and you connect with the energy. And he started talking about all these fascinating things. And it put a seed in me, and that made me start thinking about maybe I want to be a conductor since I was like 13. When he told me you should become a conductor back then when I was 13, he said, yeah, you should become a conductor so that when you have an orchestra, you can let me conduct. And so I thought, yeah, you know, I never thought I would do it. And then when I was working with the New Amsterdam, I said, I better do it now before, you know, it's too hard to do. And so I actually did let him conduct, and he doesn't know how to read music. But I told him, you know, get this recording, and this is a score, and just, you know, follow it. He has great ears. He's perfect pitch. He's really musically inclined. He just doesn't know music. And so he was conducting and up and down and up and down and training. And then he was like really, really frustrated because I told him to do the opening and then take the repeat. When you get here, this line, double line means a repeat, you go back to the beginning. And he kept calling me like, I don't know, I don't understand. And I thought, okay, maybe he doesn't really know how to follow it. And then when I got there 3 months later, I'm like, okay, show me what you've been doing. And he puts the recording on. And of course, that recording didn't take the repeat. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, so he was very frustrated, but he learned. And he got ready, and I asked the orchestra in a rehearsal if they would let us do that. And they were very generous and said yes. And just seeing his face, like a little kid, like, he's so excited. He did great. He did great. But after that, he came up to me, and he's like, you know, everyone came up to him and said, good job, that was great, blah, blah, blah. And he it got to his head, and he was like, well, maybe next year I can guest conduct. And I was like, you know. My mom basically wanted me to be happy, and she saw my face every time I had anything to do with music. I was obsessed with it. That was all I would talk about. And my father saw passion, and he is all about, if you want it, you should do it, if you really want it. And that was my case. I never had a doubt that music was what I wanted to do. In fact, when I was young and I was going to concerts, I remember feeling very clearly of listening to music and wonderful performances and seeing how people reacted in the audience and myself, and thinking, how is it that music is able to touch people so strongly without them even wanting to. Like, there are people who are sitting there just because someone brought them to the concert hall and they'd rather not be there, and they're sort of like, But there's a moment in the music when there's good music that no matter if you want it or not, you have it. You know, that's it. It touches you and you're at its mercy. You can't deny it. When I was 19, I said, you know, that's it. I have to study piano or conducting seriously at a good conservatory. And so I came here, I applied and moved to New York without knowing anyone, without knowing, like many of us who have come to New York. And I got into Manhattan School for piano. And I remember the joy, like, of how on earth I was convinced, and I'm still convinced that someone made a big mistake, honestly, because I wasn't as good, really. I hadn't had the training from when I was, young enough, and I worked really, really hard. While I was there, I was always already fishing for conducting teachers and opportunities, because my goal was always conducting, not piano. The piano was, you know, I thought I can't be a conductor without going through piano or a major instrument really well. That's when I started getting little groups together of musicians at school to play for me. So I would learn in exchange of pizza. You know, I would be like, let's have, you know, an evening of a quartet or a sextet, and then I would give him pizza. I heard about this place in Maine called the Conductor's Retreat, which is led by Ken Kiesler. So I applied and they gave me a chance. They said, yes, you're admitted. And I was like, again, felt there must be a mistake. When I get there, they're going to send me back. I think, like, you're not even close to a conductor. When I got there, it was about 35 people and about 30 of them were men, all kinds of ages. And I was so scared. I was like, oh my God. And we were in the middle of the woods, no turning back. How do I get out of here? And, you know, I was really terrified. Anyway, and so I saw other people conduct, and then I got my turn. And I just did what I could with Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings. And then afterwards, you know, I don't know what happened, but Ken Kiesler, he sort of like froze, and then he didn't say much. And then afterwards he said, can I talk to you? I said, great, they're sending you back, that's it. And too bad. And no, it was actually the opposite. He told me, he took me to the woods and he said, I think you have a gift. I'm going to help you. And I hope you really want this, because this is going to work. And I was like, I was in tears. And then the next day, I got the chance to conduct the Mass in C minor by Mozart. One of my, my favorite piece almost in the world. And that was it. I couldn't even conduct. I couldn't even sing, because half the time I was crying. It was really emotional. And so afterwards, I remember all those two things together. For back then, I was like 19 as well. And I called my parents and I said, listen to me really clearly. If I die, it's totally fine. Like, it's totally okay. Really, don't worry. If I die, I don't want to die, but I've lived, this is way more than what I expected from my life. And so just the fact that the Mozart, and then to know that someone believed that I could actually do what I wanted to do. And the truth is, from that moment on, Ken Kiesler has been with me, and he's my teacher at Manhattan School of Music. He's kept his promise, and he's been my teacher since, and amazing. And then one day I started realizing it's really difficult for any young musician from the American continent to come to New York and have this kind of opportunities that I had, you know, this benefit of the doubt. It was too much chance, you know, that then too many coincidences and good luck. I thought, this is too hard for anyone, you know. So wouldn't it be great to have an orchestra that only focuses on giving those opportunities to young, emerging musicians from the Latin America, Central, North America, and also that does the repertoire from those continents? Because while I was here, I was impressed that in one of the greatest cultural centers, the music from Mexico or Venezuela or Argentina that you hear in the symphonic orchestras is just 2-3 pieces once a year, once every 3 years, you know, if you're lucky. And there's, what about all these composers, all these young musicians? They need to be performed, they need to be exposed. And so that was a dream that I had. And then also the fact that every orchestra I saw was like boring and they were all really apathetic and sort of like making us feel in the audience as if they're only there because they have to. You know, that's the biggest offense they could have after everything I'd gone through and the way I feel about music. I wanted an orchestra that would laugh, that would connect, that would just be there, and that the point is not to be absolutely perfect in, you know, the ultimate thing, but actually the ultimate connection. If there's a connection, if there's a smile back and forth, or if there's a sympathy of feeling, even if it's not a smile, but if we are together in the journey, that's all that matters. For me, it's the connection. That's what it's all about. Then once I was called from the Consulate of Mexico, they knew I was a conductor and student conductor, and they said, why don't you put together a concert of all Mexican music? I said, sure. So I did my research. I came up with a really great program that had both old Mexican music and contemporary music and young soloists from Mexico. And I come up with a budget and I showed it to them and they're like, whoa, you know, we're thinking we were going to do something much smaller, like 10 times smaller. And they're like, okay, sorry, we can't do it. So I went home and I was like, okay, but now what do? I already have a project, I have the budget, I know what I want to do. And so I started looking for sponsors and I was making calls as if I was the conductor of this orchestra that didn't exist. I managed to get the first sponsorship for the first concert of the orchestra. And I came back home and I had the check, I had the idea, but I had to go to school the next day and I didn't have a staff, didn't have an office, didn't have a 501c3, didn't have a board, and of course I didn't have any. I had no clue how to do that. So I had to hire my three smartest friends who were around. And I said, you know, it's like, you're the executive director and you're the librarian and you're the PR, okay? Okay, that's it. Whether they knew how to do it or not wasn't the case, you know, wasn't the question. And they jumped in and they were great. And we filled a 1,500-seat hall, a town hall. We got a good review. The recording was amazing. We got in the New York Magazine a little feature. You know, it was really sort of incredible. I remember Ken, my teacher, said, okay, great, you had a great concert, you put on a great show with a great orchestra, now what are you gonna do? Are you gonna just forget it? You must be crazy, you have to keep going. And I was like, no, you know, yeah, it was great, but how do you do that? You know, how do you make that one shot thing into an ongoing thing? And the mission was the only thing that could make that possible. The mission was strong, the mission of giving the opportunities, the repertoire was unique, so it was actually the fact that the mission itself needed to exist. Once you're sitting in a concert hall, you're given to the music, and when there's good music, that's it. You can't do anything but feel it. And so I always thought that power was beyond anything I had ever seen. And to the day, I think that's beyond almost everything. And I always thought, I want to be part of that. I want to be at least mildly able to do that. Even if I fail, even if I'm not the best, I don't care. I just want to be close to that magic.
Det The New American Portraits, produced by Alex Ambrose, is part of WNYC's The New Americans, a celebration of our musical polyglot, and is supported in part by the New York State Music Fund, established by the New York State Attorney General at Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors.